Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce,
and out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implec acasă.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
De ce m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el,
but he pulled me beside him.
I-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și ne-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
I-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și ne-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să
faci?
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am, as always, your humble host, Michael Boldea, and I had to rush back home from the office, a.k.a. the warehouse, because the new owners, you know, you got to give it to them. That building hasn't seen any improvements going on probably 50 years, but the new owners are now replacing the roof, and it's like being in a dentist's office, only in stereo. And there was nowhere to hide from the sound. And it was a contracted company, and they weren't willing to take a one-hour break and just enjoy the brisk weather here in Wisconsin. So I had to rush back home. We are doing the program today from the safety of my writing nook. It's just a big baggy chair. In the corner of a room, and this is where I spend most mornings. This is where I write. The sun comes in through the window as it rises, and it's nice and cozy, but we're here. I didn't want to miss another week. Last week, we tried our best. The place where we were had very shoddy internet service. Let's just call it semi-non-existent. Thankfully, we were able to get phone calls because the company that we use, the cellular company that we use actually extends into Mexico, believe it or not. I gave away where we were. I know, brother, why would you put your life in danger? It's not. Really, it's not. I know that a lot of people, well, there's a travel advisory. Yeah, for, you know, college kids who make bad decisions, yes. For people who take full advantage of the all-inclusive alcohol bar, yes. I don't drink. I was there with my kids. We spent most of the time by the pool. The kids swam as though they were fish, and me and the wife got a little sun. So that was all it was. But we're back, and I wanted to do my utmost to come on today. There's a lot of things going on, as always. But thankfully, as always, as has become customary for us, there still is no mushroom cloud. So we work while it is day, because the night is coming. The pieces are falling into place. I think that the West is trying its best to instigate a world war, because there really is no other play for them to weasel out of the situation they've created. And that's another thing. I've been noticing a lot of very important internet people, which is an oxymoron. If you're an internet personality, by definition of your chosen career, you're not that impressive. You're not that popular. Well, you may be popular, but you're not that important. And all of them have started to decry where society is going, where society is headed. Everybody's sounding the alarms, but it's a day late and a dollar short, because they're the self-same people that helped create the society that we're currently seeing. They're the ones that applauded. They're the ones that validated. They're the ones that encouraged, because it was monetarily advantageous to them. I know, for those of you that don't like big words, monetarily advantageous means they made money off it, all right? And so now they're seeing the crumbling and the decay of culture, and even they are starting to get scared, because they realize there's no stopping this train. It's headed downhill on no brakes. People are getting dumber by the day. People are becoming more hedonistic by the day. We're seeing birth rates plummet throughout the world, and nations like Japan are sitting there going, we're in trouble. Well, it's not just Japan. The only country in the world that has seen a growth in population is England, the UK, the United Kingdom. The people known for the whitest teeth in the world. If you're English, I apologize, but both of us know. Come on. Have you been to England? If you see somebody with a full set of teeth, you're like, wow, you must be a tourist. So let's just, come on. I'm not going to debate it. I don't mean to put your nation down. However, dentistry is not a big field in England, and if it is, most people can't afford it. Anyway, the United Kingdom recorded a population growth of 4 million since 2011. The only concern for the English, for the natural-born English people, the gingers and the people that have an aversion to sun, the pasties and all that, as they like to be called, the only problem is that all of these 4 million people were imports. They were immigrants, and most of them from Muslim nations. And so England is now facing the same problem that France is facing, that Italy is facing, that most of the westernized Europe is facing, is an overtake of their laws, of their rules, by zealot Islamists. And so if you see Sharia law implemented in England at some point, don't be surprised. I'm sure you've all heard about the bridge in Maryland, I believe it was. Yep, Baltimore. You know what? Pray for the families affected. There's people that died needlessly. There were people on the bridge at 1 o'clock in the morning, probably coming home from work or going to work, whatever it was. It's a horrible situation. But we're seeing more and more of these things that, in my mind, if I were of a conspiratorial nature, we're seeing a lot of the infrastructure being used to deliver goods and services to people being hit hard. At first it was what? Airplanes. Now it's bridges. Apparently the port of Baltimore is going to be out of commission for a considerable amount of time. And so if you haven't gotten your Chinese knickknacks yet, if you hope to get them at a good price, I would encourage you to go to your local dollar store and pay $3.99 for a plastic cup, because it's likely going to be $7.99 within about 3 months with all these cargo ships being unable to unload their junk. Allow me to sip from my delicious beverage. I made a cup of coffee hastily because I got home 5 minutes before we were supposed to record, and Gino is somewhere in Romania, I believe, still. And so I couldn't, you know, go, hey, can you reschedule this for 11? Because it would have been too much of a hassle for him. But yes, just so you know, this is a recorded podcast. We are recording today, March the 28th, the year of our Lord 2024. So it is fresh, but it's not live. We've gotten burnt one too many times trying to do live broadcasts with the internet going out or with Skype not connecting. So that's that. Now, what more shall we speak of? Because there's a lot to talk about. Let me start here. I got this from a friend. He forwarded it to me. And this is for those that still don't believe judgment is warranted and deserved. This is for those who still believe, erroneously so, that America is still a Christian nation, or that we're headed in the right direction. Virginia County unanimously voted to observe its Transgender Day of Visibility this year on Easter Sunday. You had roughly 363 other days in a calendar year to observe your day of visibility. But you chose the one day that the Christian world celebrates as Resurrection Day. Tell me that wasn't intentional. Tell me that was not an attempt to spit in God's eye. And as far as Day of Visibility for transgenders, look, you don't need to make yourself any more visible. If you're 6'4", weighing 360 with a beard and a dress, you're seen. People are seeing you. They're trying not to. They're doing their best to avoid their gaze. But believe me when I tell you, you're not invisible by any means. But the fact that these people chose Easter Sunday, and I know, don't call it Easter. It's in the article. It's Easter Sunday. Can we please make some allowance? The devil's trying to shut us up. No, the church is doing a good enough job of it on its own. We're at each other's throats. You can't call it Resurrection Day. You can't call it Easter Sunday. You can't call it the day Jesus rose, because Jesus, you know, that's a Babylonian term. Can we please grow up for a second? We are about to be fully persecuted throughout the world. By we, I mean Christians. I know, we're not Christians either. We're followers of Yeshua, so you can't call us. All right, then I'm just going to stop talking. It's a radio program. I'm supposed to speak words. if I can't speak 90% of the words that I need to speak because someone will take offense or, oh, you're Illuminati because you said Easter, I can't do this anymore. We need to grow up because we're focusing on the things that are holy tertiary and ignoring the things that matter. We're ignoring spiritual growth. We're ignoring spiritual maturity. We're ignoring growing in God. We're ignoring preparing for persecution, for the days of famine, even though Jesus warned that we should. Because we're going back and forth on words. Every word has some sort of root in the Middle Ages and beyond, because that's the idea of expanding vocabularies. There's a root word for everything. I'm sure if you go back, there's an innocuous meaning for the word man and woman. Well, that's why we should call it him, her, or it, they. We're helping the agents of darkness by condemning each other to hell because we say certain words that one person or two people have deemed unacceptable within Christian circles. I wasn't even going to talk about this, but come on, let's reason together, as the Word of God says. I know that's probably a bad word too, because reason has a connotation of compromise, and we shouldn't compromise. Please, can we not be children about everything? Can we at least attempt to be mature? Something. It's my little one, Melina, the 6-year-old. For the last couple of weeks, she's gotten into that why game. She asks you a question, you give an answer, why? You give her another answer, why? And I love my kids to death, would lay down my life for them, but after 15 minutes of why, it gets a bit annoying. I'm having the same sentiment with a lot of internet prophets and Facebook theologians nowadays. Why? Resurrection Day, the day Jesus rose. It wasn't a Sunday, because from Friday to Sunday, it's only 2 days. We're nitpicking at things that we shouldn't be nitpicking at, because there's bigger issues at hand. We're looking for monsters in the closets and under the bed and in the cupboards when there's monsters standing behind pulpits. Because anyone unwilling to preach the truth of the gospel, calling themselves a pastor, anyone unwilling to preach repentance and righteousness, anyone unwilling to prepare their congregation for hardship is a monster, knowing the truth and not passing it on. But no, don't call it that. It was in the article, Easter Sunday. If it offended you, you know what? Find a fainting couch and grab your pearls. I can't anymore. We had the same discussion a few years ago over Christmas. Don't call it that. The church self-centered itself into silence. I'm not talking about Easter bunnies or eggs with candy in it. I'm not talking about all the other things the world has turned Resurrection Day into. But it's commonly called Easter Sunday among Christendom. I know. Well, that's why everyone's going to hell except me. Yeah, then heaven's going to be a pretty empty place, won't it? A Virginia county unanimously voted to observe its Transgender Day of Visibility this year on Easter Sunday, a move critics see as intentionally trying to offend Christians on the holiest of days. It's not seen. It is. This was intentional, because right now, every government outlet, every city, every county, every state representative, at least that I could find, has a not-so-hidden animus against Christians, Christianity, and the Christ. And while our enemies are collaborating, while our enemies have come to the conclusion that my enemy's enemy is my friend, and you see these mixtures of atheists and homosexuals and transgenders and Islamists come together targeting Christians, we are at each other's throats over a word. How's that going to end? How's that going to play out? We have far too many enemies to shun the friends that we have. And I know that some of you are going to hear this and you're going to react, and I'm going to get comments and I'm going to get emails. Brother, I thought you were on the path, but now you've revealed yourself to be a mason. I can't even fix my own fence. How am I a mason? I had to have somebody come in and fix a wobbly step on my front porch. I know the things I'm good at. Masonry isn't one of them. Oh, see, now you're just obfuscating because you know that the Masons aren't just about buildings. As the old adage goes, this is why we can't have nice things. We're so far away from unity within the body that the devil doesn't have to try and divide the church. The church is already divided. Even among those that are striving, even among those that are drawing closer to God, there's still this perpetual disunity. And every single day we find something new to fight about and war over. What was the thing that I saw this morning? We know that the coming of Jesus is near because Christians are mocking the rapture. Look, the government is gaslighting us enough. I don't need to be gaslit by supposed Christians. I'm not mocking the rapture. The Bible is clear that there will be a catching away. What I'm mocking, and I will not apologize for mocking, is the people that in the past 6 months alone have said the rapture was imminent 137 times. Tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, it never comes, and yet tomorrow comes again. So for someone to go, well, you're mocking the rapture when you call out people that say, this is the date that Jesus is returning. No, I'm not. There's a difference between saying, hey, this person got it wrong because we're still here and nobody got caught away on the date they said we would. There's a difference between that and saying, well, nope, nobody's getting caught up. Jesus said he was returning. And then the dead shall rise, and those that are alive will meet him in the air. It's biblical. But for me to sit here and pack my bags every other day because somebody on the interweb said tomorrow's the day, I'm going to call that out. The Fairfax Board of Supervisors voted 9-0. There's not even one voice of dissent. Because there's been this narrative going around in Christianity about the silent majority. You know that, right? Well, wait till the Christians rise. 9-0. Places where you would suppose people still had rational heads on their shoulders are approving abortion up through birth without batting an eye. Unanimously. states that you thought had a Christian majority are embracing things so antithetical to Scripture that even the devil goes, you people, I thought I could get you to do this, but you've surpassed my expectations. So the idea that we're just a majority waiting in the wings to take over and wave the banner of righteousness, we need to get away from that mindset. We are strangers in this world. We are flickers of light in a world of darkness, America included. And soon the darkness will come to attempt and extinguish the light because the light is offensive to its nature. I didn't want to get deep the first week back after being on hiatus for a week, but there's just so much going on within Christian circles that needs to get dealt with and at least discussed before we can look outward and see how we can redeem the godless, how we can bring them to the light. We need to be light ourselves before we can hope to bring someone to the light. Everybody's got a niche. Everybody's got one morsel that they cling to, and they're willing to betray the greater narrative of the gospel in order to cling to that one thing. I could sit here for the next, 30 minutes and go line by line on all the things the church is divided over and all the things that we prize above unity in Christ. Well, a couple of months back, it was the flat earthers and the round earthers and the pancake earthers. I don't know. That caused a big hubbub. Well, if you don't believe it, you're not of God's. We're putting a lot of people out of God's kingdom, man. I mean, if we go down the list, it'll be a handful of folks. And even those can't agree that they'll all be in heaven, because you may not agree on one thing, but you disagree on the other one, and you have to agree with me completely on every single issue in order for me to deem you righteous and sanctified, in order for me to grab the key from around my neck and open and unlock heaven for you. What has Christianity become? That's a good question to ponder. Allow me to sip while you ponder. So now this is the dividing line, I guess. What we call Resurrection Day, and whether it was on a Sunday or if Jesus died on a Friday. The fact that Jesus died and rose again on the third day should be the only thing that we demand those who call themselves believers agree with and believe. What day, what hour, what you call that particular event should not have or bear so much weight that you disfellowship with someone if they believe that he died on Friday and rose on Sunday, or that they call it Easter Sunday because that's what the world has called it for thousands of years. Can we get back to the core of the gospel? Please, for the sake of Christian unity, for the sake of being able to depend upon each other and fellowship with each other and have brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we can come together and strengthen ourselves and share our burdens with. Can we get back to the core of Scripture, the truth of it, and say, Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, came in the flesh, was crucified and died, put in a tomb and 3 days later rose again. That is the core of the gospel. The Bible doesn't go on to debate what you should call it or what day it happened on. But it sure does make for good YouTube clips, doesn't it? Because everybody's trying to get their market share. It's not about Jesus anymore. It's not about the resurrection. It's not about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ anymore. It's about market share. It's about getting a group of people to agree with you so that you could come on and say that you were called to minister to the nations, a prophet to the nations. What'd you prophesy? We can go into that too. If everything you've said was an opinion, and you never put a thus says the Lord before it, don't call yourself a prophet. Say, this is my opinion. This is how I see things unfolding. I'll give it to them, those people that still won't take that last step and go, thus says the Lord, but still call themselves prophet, likely still hold some fear of the Lord in their hearts, wherein they're unwilling to take that last step. But still, you're speaking in the name of the Lord because you're calling yourself a prophet of the Lord. Man, we are so confused. If this is the measure of being found, if the modern day, if today's American church, if today's pseudo-prophets and pseudo-theologians and all this other nonsense that's going on the interwebs, if this is the measure of being found, I can't even imagine what being lost is. All the while, we're getting closer. Undeniable, even those of the world who have no relationship or allegiance to Jesus are seeing things fall into place, and it's scaring them. It's concerning them. People of a certain intellectual ability are seeing what's going on with the world, what laws are being passed, and the things that are being said, and not from any revelatory standpoint, not from any God-inspired revelation. They're terrified of what they see coming. People who do not consider themselves children of God, if people who do not consider themselves prophets or seers or whatever, the lame term that we come up with to try to bolster our own egos, if they are seeing the writing on the wall, yet the church is refusing to, what does that say about the church? What does that say about those who consider themselves the spiritual elites of our age? You want to know what's happening in church? Church merging drag show with Easter service for sacred act of protest. This is what's happening in church. Well, are we expecting those of the world to be more righteous than the church? When you see this, then you understand how unanimously the Fairfax, Virginia overseers decided that it was perfectly reasonable to observe its transgender day of visibility on Easter Sunday. This is the Board of Supervisors. These are elected positions. The people of Fairfax, Virginia elected these 9 people. And these 9 people unanimously voted in favor of observing the Transgender Day of Visibility on the one day where Christendom celebrates the resurrection of the Christ. But no, brother, you don't get it. The phoenix is going to rise. The phoenix is going to rise. And I'm not trying to get anyone to leap off the verge of depression. I'm not trying to get anyone to view the future as hopeless, because we are in Christ, therefore we are in hope, we are in peace, we are in joy. What I'm trying to get you to see is that the answer will not come from government or from governing bodies. It won't come from any one administration or the other. The answer will come from the people of God humbling themselves and crying out to God. Are you saying there's hope of restoration? How do I put this? Nineveh got 40 days. And in 40 days, Nineveh managed to get its act together. From highest to lowest, repenting in sackcloth and ash. And God relented. America's had 40 years. And it's only gone from bad to worse. Church merging, drag show with Easter service for sacred act of protest, indeed. But we don't deserve judgment, don't we, though? Be honest, don't we, though? Now, granted, this is happening in Canada. Well, see, we're not that bad. Yes, we are. It just hasn't made the news yet. I promise you, similar things are happening in American churches. But hey, don't call it Easter, man. You're going to hell if you do. A Canadian church is demonstrating how much they hate Jesus and his word, incorporating a drag show as part of their Easter Sunday service to show solidarity with the LGBTQ plus community and serve as a sacred act of protest. Another way of saying this is they're daring God to show his wrath. They're daring God to strike them down. That's the way I'm reading into this. Calgary Unitarian Church, led by the Samaya Oakley, I don't even know if that's a he, she, it, or them. I don't want to judge. Is putting on the Drag to Me Church event to honor and celebrate International Transgender Day of Visibility overlaps with Easter Sunday again. They had 363 other days. They chose this one. Alberta recently passed a law that prohibits child castration before the age of 18. And apparently the Calgary Unitarian Church is enraged by this, using a service typically reserved for celebrating the resurrection of Jesus into a celebration of sexual perversity and confusion. Their post says this: come join us for an Easter Sunday you'll never forget. You know what? If everyone in that church spontaneously combusts come the beginning of service, I'm sure no one will ever forget it. This will be a thought-provoking service and sacred act of protest as we support our trans siblings during this current political climate. I can't even. These are people who still somehow believe themselves to be saved and sanctified. They think they're going to heaven. Some days, man. Some days. I've been doing this for a very long time. I started in ministry when I was 12 years old. I was my grandpa's translator for 10 years. I've been the chairman of Hand of Help since my grandfather passed in 1997. And I've never seen it as bad as today. And if we're still around, I promise you that a year from now, I'll likely make the same statement. I've never seen it as bad as today. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about how sin, depravity, and perversion has invaded the church. I'm talking about how there no longer remains a difference between someone who calls themselves a believer or a spiritual person and someone who's an atheist or an agnostic. And it will only get worse from here because the shepherds are not doing their job. By and large, there's still some. But far too few. There's no discernment. There's no wisdom. There are no standards. There's no morality. There's no differentiation between light and darkness in many of these places anymore, yet we still have the temerity to say that we are God's elect. We are the tip of the spear. We're the top of the mountaintop. There's never been a more spiritual generation than ours. Our singular expectation extends to prosperity. Our singular expectation extends to more stuff that God must give us because we're so good. Community Christian Church in Tell City, Indiana has released a statement about their now former pastor, Errol Wright, after he was arrested and charged with sexual misconduct with a minor, child seduction and child solicitation. But fear not. The church wants to make sure that you know that none of the church money went to this. How exactly did this man pass all the vetting processes that he became the pastor of a congregation? This man is a child predator. And there were people sitting under his teaching thinking they were getting fed the word of God. But don't worry about it. None of the church money went to, you know, molest children. Perhaps we should switch from still no mushroom cloud to where is it? Why hasn't it arrived yet? You'd think Sodom and Gomorrah was bad. Errol has been accused of having relations with his 15-year-old foster child over 100 times, both at home and at the church until she turned 18. This is supposed to be a shepherd, a leader of men. and none of the elders and none of the mature believers that stand between the darkness and the sheep had enough discernment to see it for what it was. This is what happens when churches no longer have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We have to find, and by this I mean, it's another article, because people send me these things. I think right now it's just to see whether they can cause me to have an aneurysm. I think I'm being sent these articles just in mass by four or five different people, and I love you. Thank you for sending them. But I think at least half of them want to see if they can compel an aneurysm or a heart attack or a stroke or something. Psalms, hymns, and Miley Cyrus songs. Church worships to dance remix of The Climb. This is in Philadelphia. It's Oneness Pentecostal. So I'm not just picking on the Methodists or the Unitarians or whoever. This is a Pentecostal church, man. The Ambassador Seat of Love Church. The Ambassador Seat of Love Church is a Philadelphia-based Oneness Pentecostal church. You're not. There's no Holy Spirit there. Come on, kids. You can call yourself whatever you want, but a good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. I know that Bible is... I'm sure that at some point... Oh, who was it? Furtick. The guy in the muscle tees. There was a big hubbub a couple days ago where their Easter Sunday service, and he's already Ichabod because he calls it Easter, I know. But they're not going to talk about Jesus. They're not going to talk about resurrection. They're not going to talk about the death of Christ because they want to be seeker friendly. Why not just call it a club? I'm sure that there will be just enough people that will come if you call it a nightclub during the day. And because you don't want to be responsible for anyone driving inebriated, you could just serve, I don't know, Diet Coke and Tab. Maybe some ginger ale for the people that, you know, don't like all the chemicals. I kid. Ginger ale has chemicals too. But why not just call it a club? Let's just be done with it. Well, because, you know, Furtick likes the praise. He likes the elevation. Isn't that the name of his? Oh, I see. Again, it's a Freudian slip without believing in Freud's delusions. It's called Elevation Church, isn't it? Well, Furtick just likes the elevation. That's why he doesn't, you know, remove himself and just come clubbing for Jesus. Boom, 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 boom. Hallelujah. Well, we can't say hallelujah anymore because it may offend somebody. We can't talk about Jesus. We can't talk about the resurrection. We can't talk about the death, burial, and the raising up of the Christ or his ascendance to heaven. No, none of those things, no. But it's church. Believe me, it's church. It's Elevation Church. Who are we elevating? Not Jesus. That mongoloid Furtick. That's who we're elevating. I know, Mike, have you looked in the mirror? I have, but I don't wear muscle shirts. And not to be judgy, but if you've looked at pictures of Senor Furtick, you could see clearly that the lower mandible juts out. Just saying. Mike, that's just mean. I don't care anymore. You know what? It's because I love you that I still come on here whenever I can, hopefully weekly from now on. But as far as holding out hope for an awakening of the church, no, because thousands of people flock to this man every Sunday. even though what he teaches is abject heresy, even though he's removing the resurrection and Christ and the sacrifice thereof from their Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday service, then what's the point? The Ambassador Seat of Love Church, which is part of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a Philadelphia-based Oneness Pentecostal church, and they differ from many Pentecostal denominations and groups in that it doesn't allow women to be pastors and has a stricter view of divorce and remarriage, though for the most part it follows the same teachings. During a recent church service, Seat of Love Church did not merely perform Miley Cyrus's The Climb as some sort of mid-service performance or musical interlude, but actually incorporated it as part of its worship service. Because, you know, you can't bob your head to Amazing Grace. It doesn't have enough of a rhythm. I can't. Lord, give me strength. But these are the times we live in. All right. And again, we'll come back to the serious portion of the program, even though we've only got it 5 minutes. Everything the Bible warns the last days will look like has come to pass. Understand this. It doesn't take signs in the heavens. It doesn't take signs in the moon and the stars. All you have to look at is the current condition of the church to understand where we are as far as the last days are concerned. Jesus spoke of it. Paul spoke of it. And for us to ignore these things, for us to ignore these signs, and keep looking for the rebuilding of temples or whatever else the new thing is missing the forest for the trees. I'm going to read you part of Paul's letter to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy, beginning with chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Perilous, dangerous. I know. We're waiting for a great revival, brother. Don't deny the Spirit. The Spirit? What Spirit? The Bible says, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Paul is writing about the church. This will be the condition of the church in the last days. Because it's not as though the people of their day were righteous and holy. He's not talking about the godless. The godless are already godless. They're already doing all of the things that he highlights and that he itemizes. Talking about people in church, people supposing themselves children of God. Because the godless don't have a form of godliness. They have no godliness at all. But Paul says they will have a form of godliness while denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Don't try to understand them. Don't try to make peace. Don't try to, you know, well, live and let turn away. I've stopped trying to understand why people who should know better are preaching heresy. I've just turned away. For of this sort are those who creep into the household and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? Christ. Christ said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Well, you don't get it, but the aliens and the black holes and the, you know, the reactor up in Sweden, brother, those things, always learning. You've got people with PhDs in irrelevancy. You've got people with PhDs in non-salvific matters, always learning, always something new, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're going to end it here. I don't know if Gino's there, but I'm going to give him 2 minutes just in case.
I am here.
But we'll continue next week. We're going to keep talking about these things because they matter. Until next week, just remember, Jesus came, born of a virgin, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. Hallelujah. He is Lord and King. Gino, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mike. You know, being in Romania, you can really just everything Mike's saying is not only true, but what really breaks my heart is more pastors should be saying what Mike said. More people should be blowing a trumpet of warning, because you have to warn a country that's fallen this far into sin. You know, God says in Ezekiel, he called for the watchmen to blow a trumpet and warn. And if they don't warn, the blood will be on their hands. America is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah because these sins are in the church. Dimitri said, judgment's coming because of sin in the church. The church ought to know better. And then you have churches, as Mike said, promoting drag show events, promoting gay pride week. These were churches that once had, you know, like the Methodist Church in the 1850s to the 1890s. They had a lot of good preachers and solid evangelism back in the day, but a lot of them are dead and they're full of evil because of this heresy. Mike spoke the scripture in the last days. Perilous times will come. Well, we're here. They're here right now. So I urge people, keep blowing a trumpet, keep warning, keep speaking truth. Never, ever bend the truth. Always speak the truth, because the truth does set people free. Thank you for listening to the Light of Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.